The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. To the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Steve Maskin, and this radio healthcare clinic is brought to you by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based health safety net with immediate impact to save lives and protect families. We make you a lay medical expert on your individual medical problems. We use two interactive educational programs, this radio healthcare clinic and the annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium. Together, these programs will enable you to better partner with your existing physician, which leads to more effective office visits, faster results, and reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. The importance of education cannot be overemphasized. And I say that in the context of an article that was written, actually was in the Tampa Tribune earlier this week. It was a study by the Associated Press. Actually, the study was by the Kaiser Family Foundation. It was reported by the Associated Press in the Tampa Tribune, and they found that in 53% of Americans in that poll, that one quarter, 27% of people in that poll said that they or a family member living with them had cut back on their health care in one or more ways to save money in the past 12 months, relying on home remedies, for example, instead of seeing a doctor or skipping a visit to the dentist. So this, of course, is very important, understanding the difficulty in the economy today, and people are holding on to their dollars whenever they can. It is, I think, underscores what we're about and what we're doing to find ways to bring physicians and you together outside of the examination room to give you education. We're not practicing medicine, but sometimes little things do, actually always, little things mean a lot. And some of the information that you can obtain from us can actually help transform your life and give you that breakthrough. And there are so many examples that I can give you in the context of our focus on females, from the osteoporosis woman that wasn't taking enough calcium in her diet, and was leading to decreased bone density, to the woman in Illinois who turned out had a cardiac arrest and turned out to have unrecognized obstructive sleep apnea as indeed a major factor in the cause of her congestive heart failure and cardiac arrest, and on and on and on. There are breakthroughs here at Focus on Females that we're proud of, and we can help you too. When you call in, ask your questions. We encourage you to continue, obviously, with your follow-ups with your doctors, But by using our resources, a focus on females, you can have get faster results and a reduced economic burden. Returning to the annual symposium, speaking of which, it's coming up in 3 weeks, March 21st, it's Saturday at the Tampa Convention Center. It's a free event, but pre-registration is very important. We will have 21 medical seminars by physicians speaking plain English, no medical jargon. Each seminar is 1 full hour long. And to ensure a seat in your seminar, the seminar of your choice, you must pre-register. And you can do so at focusonfemales.com, focusonfemales.com, or call our hotline 514-4515. And along with those 21 different seminars on a wide variety of medical topics, we will have 8 fitness classes by certified instructors, health screenings, chair massages, and much, much more. And again, it's all free. We are on track to break through 2,000 and wind up somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 women. So grab a friend and join us. You'll have a great time and learn something that will transform your life. And now, today's clinic is about weight loss, conquering weight loss. And I have the good fortune to have with me an expert in weight loss and obesity issues, and that is Dr. Wilfred Aguila. And Dr. Aguila is a native of Florida and has served communities in Florida since he graduated from the University of Miami School of Medicine in 1991. Dr. Aguila received his undergraduate degree in chemistry from the University of Miami in 1986 before completing that medical program. In Tampa, Dr. Aguila completed his surgical residency at the University of South Florida in 1996 and was chief resident in surgery from 1995 to 1996. Dr. Aguila then went on to practice general surgery in the Brandon area for 11 years and now specializes in bariatric surgery. Struggling himself for almost a decade with a weight problem of his own, Dr. Aguila has opened a practice in Tampa that specializes in weight loss and shares with his patients the lessons he personally has learned in maintaining his own weight loss. Dr. Aguila is currently listed in the Guide to America's Top Surgeons and is a member of the American Society for Bariatric Surgery and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons. He is board certified in general surgery. Dr. Aguila is active in community events, including member of the Ybor City Rotary Club, and serves on the board of the American Cancer Society of Greater Tampa. Dr. Aguila is also vice chair of the Tampa Mayor's Hispanic Advisory Council. He is the obesity expert and writer for MD News quarterly publication. He lives with his wife and 3 children in Tampa. Will, it's great to have you here today.
Well, pleasure to be here, Steve.
And I tell you, I've always felt that when you're looking for an expert on a topic, if you can find someone who has him or herself had these same issues, personal issues, and has developed a passion for overcoming them, then you're well on your way to finding an answer for yourself.
Absolutely. You have to have a passion for what you're doing. And when you experience this yourself and gone through the rigors of it, you come out with a certain perspective of it that you're able to pass on to other people, and that's the joy of it. You're able to help others by doing that.
Would you like to give a short statement on the impact on your personal life as you were struggling through this and how you overcame it?
Absolutely. To give you a perspective of that, I got to tell you, I was obese. Well, let me explain obesity. Obesity is really a state of being well above one's normal weight. The NIH describes obesity as a body mass index of 30 or more. Body mass index is basically calculated by taking your weight and dividing that by your height. Don't go ahead and start calculating this now. There are lots of charts and programs that you can go on the internet and put in your weight and your height, and it will tell you what it is. But the point I'm trying to make is that there is a direct correlation between your body mass index and the degree of obesity that you have and the degree of disease that you can get. The higher the body mass index, the more disease, the higher your mortality. If your body mass index is 30 to 35, you're obese. If it's 35 to 40, you're severely obese. And if you're greater than 40, you're morbidly obese. My point is my body mass index was almost 35 at the time.
And what kind of symptoms, what kind of issues were you dealing with that body mass index of 35?
It was very difficult to catch my breath. I had no strength, no energy. I couldn't do things with my kids. It's funny that my daughter always complained that when we were younger, we'd try to get on something as simple as getting on a roller coaster ride where we sat next to each other up in Universal Studios, and the bar couldn't clamped down enough because I was so
across
obese
across
mm-hmm. my daughter and myself, mm-hmm. and she felt uneasy riding that. Mm-hmm. So simple things like that, in addition to the stress I was putting my body in, mm-hmm. and who knows what cardiac effects and other effects, and possibly even being close to becoming diabetic as well.
Mm. And how long had you been struggling with this?
Well, I struggled for about 10 years, a whole decade of this. It feels almost like I lost 10 years of my life when this happened.
And was there one moment that was the aha moment that turned things around, or what actually led to your determination that this is going to end today?
There were several aha moments. The biggest one was when the birth of my son. And when he got old enough that I could get in the pool with him and took pictures and realized, oh, my God, you know, that's me. I can't even believe that's me.
That's an excellent point. I mean, that's an excellent point. Oftentimes we don't see ourselves for what we are or how we look unless we do look at pictures of ourselves. There are other issues that come to play into that too, but I think that's an excellent point. Surprise, this is what I really am and what I look like.
Absolutely. You know, there is a certain degree of denial, and that aha moment is basically the moment when you realize what's going on, and the denial essentially goes away.
And what did you do how did you initiate your weight loss that was able to sustain it for yourself?
Well, I had tried multiple diets before. My wife had put me on several things. But the point was that until I came to terms with the reason why I became obese, I wasn't able to conquer it. I'm very glad you asked that, because one of the things that I'm most proud of is upon losing my own weight, I came up with something I call a cycle of obesity. I sat there and it just came to me, what are the reasons why I became obese? And basically what the cycle is that some sort of stress or anxiety that led into depression, that led me to overeat, that led me into guilt. And then that guilt led into further anxiety, depression, more overeating, more guilt. And thus a very, very vicious cycle was born. And I realized that conquering the cycle wasn't just about stopping the overeating. It was about conquering all the other aspects of the cycle. If you go on my website, you see some blogs of this, because really you can get into a whole conversation about the cycle, a whole book practically. But the important point is that this cycle allowed me to see the areas that were causing me to fail. And this allowed me to conclude that the real secret of losing weight and keeping it off is knowing why you fail.
So, for example, in your practice, how do you approach the obese patient, considering the cycle of obesity?
Oh, my goodness. My patients hear this again and again and again, and they actually like the cycle very much. They ask for it by name. I'll be talking about it. But I explain almost everything through that cycle. I realize that some patients have severe depression. That may need to be treated medically. Patients have issues involving severe anxiety or stress that may require professional counseling, may require the support of the family members. Now, we're never going to get rid of all our stress, okay? We are adults, but you have to get a handle on it before it overcomes you, and then it feeds into that cycle.
So you will incorporate other resources in managing the individual patient, and you individualize your approach depending upon where these individuals are in the cycle of obesity.
Absolutely. Basically, you don't know what you're fighting until you know what you're fighting. And this this is not going to provide a cure, but it's going to at least open their eyes and say, oh, wow, I didn't look at it that way. Something as simple as the guilt factor. We may have issues with guilt of feelings of failure all the time, or feelings of, you know, I live for the moment. I don't think of the repercussions, or even some degree of immaturity. And guilt can come from the way we were raised, how our parents treated us, how our spouses treat us, multiple issues, even spousal abuse or issues of sabotage from your spouses for, you know, on purpose or not on purpose, mm-hmm. or from your family members. So it really goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. But you're there and you help the individual look inside themselves to help them sort out where they are in the cycle of obesity to be able to attack.
Absolutely.
Where they are. Wait, we'll be right back with more on obesity and conquering weight loss on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
Profile America, Sunday, March 1st. This is Women's History Month, time to recognize the often overlooked vision, courage, and accomplishments of the nation's women. One example is Mary Harris Jones, who brought the evils of child labor to national attention in the 1800s. Another is Rachel Carson, whose 1962 book, Silent Spring, helped lay the foundation of modern environmental awareness. In recent years, women have concentrated on education. In the current school year, women are expected to earn 58% of the bachelor's degrees and 60% of the master's degrees. Women will also be awarded half of the first professional degrees, such as law and medicine. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness. Plus, begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back, Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We are tackling obesity today with my guest expert, Dr. Will Aguila. And Will has talked about the cycle of obesity, stress leading to depression, to overeating, to guilt. Will, do you want to make more comments on that before we move on?
Just one more thing. I wanted to really impress on the fact that that cycle has to be broken in order for weight loss to be permanent. And just treating the overeating, whereas it's diet or even surgery, is not enough, because you will find a way to cheat that. You will find a way to overcome that by not addressing the other factors of that. So if you do address that, you're more likely to succeed, and that's what we focus on.
Excellent, excellent concept. So tell us, let's talk about obesity and the impact on one's health. We talked about you personally, how it took away your energy, easily fatigued, almost diabetic. What else can obesity do to the individual?
Oh, the list goes on and on. Of course, diabetes type 2 is very common with obesity, and ample evidence shows the reversal of this disease with adequate weight loss. Hypertension, coronary artery disease, sleep apnea, which is where people stop breathing in the middle of the line for short periods of time, hyperlipidemia or high triglycerides, and cancer. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't realize that there is a strong association with certain types of cancers and obesity, and those include colorectal cancer, postmenopausal breast cancer, endometrial cancer, pancreatic cancer, and others.
It really affects every part of the body. It attacks multiple organs.
Absolutely.
And of course, not only do we have a problem with obesity in adults, but in I guess what's called an epidemic of obesity in children today.
There's no doubt. Obesity rates in children have risen from roughly 6% in the 1960s to about 70% by the year 2004.
You said 70%?
17%.
17,
no,
okay.
They'll make it even worse than that.
Yeah, 17%.
Yes.
And now, do you see children in your practice?
At this point, we do not. If the FDA does approve the lap band for adolescents, we will very well see them at that point.
Is it your sense that the same cycle of obesity occurs in children as adults, or is it a different issue?
Absolutely. I think the cycle of obesity occurs for both children and adults. Maybe different aspects of the cycle that are involved, as I explained before, but it definitely is.
And are there any diseases of obesity that are specifically related to women?
Yes. In addition to the ones I mentioned, think about this: infertility. Obesity increases estrogen production in women, and with ovulation, you have problems with ovulation, you have amenorrhea.
Amenorrhea means not having a period.
Not having a period, mm-hmm. Correct. Polycystic ovary syndrome is quite related to obesity. Pregnancy, gestational diabetes, large baby, or even high C-section rates. But listen to this one. I don't know if a lot of women even thought about this, but, you know, morbidly obese or even severely obese people tend to have increased risk of having blood clots in the legs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Say you're a woman and you're taking birth control pills. In addition to being severely obese, that increases your risk even higher. And in addition to that, you smoke. Bingo, you have a really significant risk of having a blood clot in the legs and then subsequently to the lungs and even death.
Right, so-called pulmonary embolism.
Exactly.
Right, and then inactivity, I guess obesity to some extent equates to reduced activity because of the things we talked about before, and reduced activity, I guess, is another risk factor for blood clots.
Absolutely, and also because of their joint pains and different issues. Inactivity is very common in obesity. Of note is that you realize that adults should be doing at least 30 minutes five times a week of moderate activity, and children should be doing at least 1 hour a day.
Excellent. Okay. On the line is Monica from Tampa. Monica has a question about processed foods and obesity. Monica, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Hi.
Hello.
I have a question. I've had to battle with about 20 pounds throughout my adult life, and I have found that I'm one of these people that may be sensitive to processed food. So what I did was I started Sugar Busters, and that was the only thing that ever worked for me long term. And can you give me your opinion on why that works so much better than these other fads that are out there, because I know I'm supposed to avoid white flour, white sugar, but I can still eat great amounts of the right kind of carbohydrates.
Well, you answered that question yourself. It's the right kind of carbohydrates, the ones that do not go directly into making fat, that your body uses for energy directly, and don't store it as fat. Basically, we should be shopping at the periphery of the grocery store. If you shop at the edges of the grocery store, you get all the fruits and fine foods that are not processed and do not carry high density of calories in each serving.
And we'll be right back with more to respond to Monica's question on processed foods and obesity. Back in a flash.
Focus on females. With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Officials in Pakistan say suspected U.S. missile strikes have killed 7 people in a Taliban stronghold. Forecasters say the East Coast is about to get hit by a major winter storm. Snow has already fallen in Alabama and Georgia. As much as 14 inches could blanket the Philadelphia area, with even more expected in the Boston area. European Union leaders are opposing a new multi-billion dollar bailout for Eastern Europe. The EU Commission president says Eastern European countries have already been getting billions in emergency rescue funds from the EU, the World Bank, and other financial institutions. Auctioneers say a rare U.S. stamp that was printed upside down could fetch about $215,000 at auction. The 1918 Inverted Jenny is one of a stamp collecting most famous prizes. It's a 24-cent airmail stamp. More details at srnnews.com.
Is there a light at the end of the economic tunnel? Maybe there is, if the tunnel starts at the Obama White House.
We will rebuild. We must have quality, affordable health care for every American. Ask every American to commit to at least 1 year or more of higher education or career training. The answers to our problems don't lie beyond our reach.
The president's dreaming.
Now more than ever, find economic optimism and realism right here. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. The verdict is in. Ann Coulter's new book, Guilty, passes judgment on the mainstream media as no one else can. And here's another great way to cut through the spin and get to the real story. Town Hall Magazine. It's must reading for conservatives all year long. Now you can subscribe to Town Hall Magazine and get Ann Coulter's new book, Guilty, for free. There's never been a better time to go to townhallmagazine.com and sign up. For Ann Coulter's new book and a full year of Town Hall Magazine, go to townhallmagazine.com. That's townhallmagazine.com.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 18 years and is board certified, fellowship trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2008 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you've not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back, Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're on the line with Monica from Tampa. Monica asked a question about processed foods and obesity and feels the Sugar Busters diet was successful for her in attacking her own weight issue. And Will, you started to talk about the periphery of the supermarket, staying away from processed foods. Do you have an analogy that you can offer up as far as how the body handles processed foods versus non-processed foods and how perhaps this is helping Monica?
Well, I have an analogy. Basically, think of your body as a warehouse, and here's the clerk at the warehouse accepting all these processed carbohydrates. it has no use for them because your body is not using this energy. So it has to find a place to store it. So it loads them on the pallet and puts them on the forklift and just puts them somewhere in the warehouse, anywhere it could stick it. And basically, that warehouse is your body. It'll put it anywhere it can and just store it and keep storing and keep storing for a later time that's never going to come.
That's with processed foods.
Well, that's with any excess calories, okay. But processed foods have a higher density of calories than the other ones.
All right. And so relatively speaking, the non-processed foods, the whole grains, don't have that density of calories. Therefore, the energy or the calories are being utilized at a much faster rate.
Correct.
And so, therefore, there's no need to go ahead and save it in the storage areas of the body.
Well, you're not gonna put in the amount of calories peripherally as you're gonna be putting in with the less dense foods, and you're gonna use up your stores of calories or your stores of fat for energy.
Monica?
More questions based on that.
Go ahead.
If you're talking about calories, what about the sugar portion, the white sugar, the processed sugar? Is it not just because everything on the market now is fat-free, didn't they just take the fat out and put the sugar in? And can the sugar make you want more and more of that? And why is it some people are more sensitive to that?
Well, yes, you're right. Actually, sugar tends to, and some people actually make them hungrier, make them eat more. But the point is fat-free doesn't necessarily mean calorie-free. Be aware of that. Fat-free doesn't mean calorie-free. Foods may be very high in calories but low in fat. That's an issue.
And so then you're right back to where you began before. If you're just taking too many calories, then the body is going to go ahead and store those fat.
Exactly. And it's calories in equals calories out. It's an energy balance is what's important.
And a recent, actually, it was funny because before the show, Will and I were talking. There's an article that was just released in the New England Journal of Medicine from Harvard talking about, they did a study comparing weight loss diets with different compositions of fat, protein, and carbohydrates. And essentially the conclusion is that the reduced calorie diets result in clinically meaningful weight loss regardless of which macronutrients they emphasize. What they're saying is that what's important is the amount of calories you take in, and perhaps not as much important whether they're fat calories or carbohydrate calories. And so when Will's talking about the processed foods are dense in calories, then again, those calories are going to be stored as fat. Is that not correct, Will?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Monica?
So basically people should get away from the phobia of carbohydrates as long as they're the right kind of carbohydrates.
Exactly. And the most important thing is know how many calories you're taking in, mm-hmm. Period. That is it. That is the trick.
So even the
calories.
Well, I have to stop you there. What's interesting for me is I didn't calculate my calories when I did this, and when my sister asked me about it, I added them up, and I was taking in 2,200 calories a day, and I was losing weight consistently until I got to a stopping point, which was very good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was odd for me that I did not have to count my calories because I ate at certain times, and I ate the right amount of the right food.
Did you count how many calories you were taking before?
No, I did not, but I'm sure it was probably a lot more than that.
There you go.
Okay. But you can have a good amount of calories if it's not astronomical, is that correct?
No, you need to be, okay, calories depends on your sex, your age, mm-hmm. how active you are. All these things need to be taken into effect. So I can't just say, you know, you need this many calories and the next person needs as many. It depends on those factors, and that's what you have to take in daily.
Okay.
And you can't just take. I think Monica made a statement that you can just take as many of the right carbohydrates, as many of the right calories as you want. And I imagine you differ with that.
No, you need to know how many calories your body needs per day, depending again on your age and on your sex and your level of activity. And if you take in more than that, you're going to gain weight.
Even if they're the right calories.
Exactly.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm surprised that I was able to take that many calories. For my age, for my sex, and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Are you active? You exercise?
I'm 42 years old. I'm active. I have four children, but, you know, I'm 42 years old, and I was able to take in that many calories and lose weight really well and still be at that many calories to this day because I eat basically a lot of the same things because I enjoy them, and they give me good energy, and I don't feel that slump.
I'm sure if you calculated how many calories you were on before compared to now, it's a big difference.
I guess what I'm saying is people are always afraid of that number, and they think they have to be at 900 calories to lose weight.
No.
Right.
No, absolutely not.
So I guess that's my point. Mm-hmm. But thank you
very much.
Any other questions, Monica?
I think that's it.
All right. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, and by the way, this is a great forum to have. It's very informative, and I enjoy listening every week.
Well, great. You ought to sign up. Join us at the big symposium coming up next
month. I already signed up.
Good for you. Tell all your friends.
I will.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Also on the line is Cookie. Now, Cookie's a patient of Dr. Aguila's. Cookie, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Hello.
Hi, Cookie.
Hi. How are you, Dr. Gillian?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Well, Cookie's a patient, as I mentioned. Would you like to share with us your personal obesity story?
Well, I'm 54 years old, and I'm the mother of two children. I've been obese the majority of my life. I was an obese teenager. I've been on probably every weight loss diet and fad that ever came through to lose a lot of weight sometimes and then only to gain it back. I did research for the lap band surgery for about 2.5 years before I met Dr. Aguila, and I decided through with my husband, we're very spiritual people, and through prayer we decided that it was time for me to go through with the surgery, and I had it on February 28th last year. Today makes a year and a day for my surgery, and I've since lost about close to 80 pounds. I'm about 78 pounds now. And my only regret is that I didn't do it 10 years ago. It's been a wonderful experience. Dr. Gillia and his team are more like a family than a doctor's office. We've all become family. He's very caring and considerate about anything that I've dealt with, which hasn't been anything negative, but any questions that I've had or anything, he's always there, him and his staff, they're always available. And I've never been left alone in any situation, anything I needed to know. They've been always very informative before surgery and since my surgery, and it's just been a wonderful experience.
Well, tell us, Cookie lost 80 pounds. I don't know if you have her record with you, but do you have a sense of what her BMI was in the beginning when she was trying to tackle this problem?
No, but she could probably tell us. Okay. Well, do you remember what your body mass index was?
That's a good question.
I know it was over 40, so I know that, but I don't know exactly the number.
I think it was like 62 or something like that.
No, you weren't. It was over 40. Right. You weren't 62.
So would you like to address how you applied the cycle of obesity to Cookie's case?
Excellent question. We treated the overeating, which is what the lap band is, and then we wanted to make sure that she has good support in her family, of which she does. She has a wonderful family, wonderful support group. So that it minimizes her stress and her anxiety. I don't believe Cookie had issues with depression, and I don't believe she had any issues of guilt, although she obviously, like other people, had feelings of possibly failure because she has been through so many diets and different attempts at doing this, and it did not succeed. So those issues, had to be quelled, and by talking to her and helping her with any of these issues, if they're available, that makes her succeed.
Now, that's great, and I have to tell you, this whole area of weight loss surgery is new to me, but I was reading a little bit about the lap band, and that looked pretty exciting because what you do it through a laparoscopy or a small wound?
You make it through very tiny incisions. They're usually about the size of a pencil tip eraser, and the biggest one is about the size of maybe the tip of a thumb. And you put it in the band. You don't divide or cut the intestines or reroute the stomach in any way.
And I think that right there seems to me, as a physician who's not obviously a specialist in this field, but that seems to make it very appealing as well.
Oh, yes, and I'll tell you why. Because basically, after we do the surgery, patients recover rather quickly and usually back to work within a couple of days. They can even go home the same day.
And on top of that, you can adjust. Well, I'll tell you what, you put a band, why don't you describe where the band is placed?
So we place the band up at the upper part of the stomach, about two or three centimeters below where the stomach and the esophagus come together. So that's way up there, almost right underneath the chest. And by that doing that, we create another smaller stomach.
Okay. And so you can adjust the band itself so it could be, you know. You could
that has a balloon on the inside that wraps around the stomach, and then there's a little port that goes underneath the skin. Now, most patients don't even know where their ports are, so that kind of tells you that it's not uncomfortable. They can even see it. It's not something you can see, but you can feel. And in the office, we numb you up and put a little bit of water, just sterile water, into the port that connects to the band, and it tightens the band as needed in the office so that you feel satisfied. Now, there is a possibility you can over-tighten that band to the point where they can't eat well. That's not the point of this. The point is to get it just right so they can eat solid food, they can eat steak, they can eat all types of healthy foods and feel satisfied with their hunger and eat about 4 to 6 ounces, and thus they lose weight.
And so it's a reversible process.
You can reverse the band. We like not to, but in extreme circumstances, it can be removed. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about it is should you, God forbid, get severe disease, cancer, trauma, anything where you need more calories, the band can be opened up by taking the fluid out.
And this could be years later.
And you can adjust it through pregnancy as well. Yeah. Yes, you could do this for, for years later.
So, Cookie, what do you remember? You said your surgery was a year ago.
Yes, sir.
And so tell us, I don't know if you remember, for example, the recovery. Were you able to get back into things pretty quick?
Oh, yes. I remember the recovery very well because it was the most pleasurable surgery I've ever experienced. The hospital staff was wonderful. I had the surgery on a Thursday. I only spent the night in the hospital because my insurance required that I did. Mm-hmm. At least spend one night in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I felt wonderful. I went back to work on Monday. As a matter of fact, I went to a church service on Saturday. I didn't have any discomfort, any cramps, any pain. My only requirement of Dr. Aguilera was that I didn't lift anything 10 pounds or over, and my job doesn't require that. So I was able to accommodate myself with that. It was just smooth sailing straight ahead from that point on.
And what hospital did you have it at?
I had it at Memorial Hospital in Tampa, Florida, and the staff was excellent. They're very well averse of the surgery because that's where Dr. Aguilera does most of his surgery, so it was nothing unusual for them to care for me during or after surgery, and it was just a wonderful experience.
Excellent. I personally have had excellent experiences with Memorial Hospital. I love it over there myself. Very good. Will, any other points that you'd like to make on Cookie's case for our listeners?
No, Cookie has been an excellent patient, and I think the main point that I want to make with her case is that she has a very strong support from her family and from her husband and even from her friends, and that's imperative because, again, like I said, in that cycle of obesity, guilt or feelings of failure that are associated with that, are extremely important issues to take control of because they can really affect seriously your outcome. And Cookie has been able to do very well because of that.
And I would like to add, if it's okay, having the lap band surgery is not like a magic wand. There is still work that I have to do and that any patient would have to do, and I make that point plain to everybody that I tell about the lap band surgery. It's just a tool that I'm able to use to assist me in losing weight. I still have much work to do. I have to exercise. I have to eat the right things. My stomach only holds from 4 to 6 ounces of food, but I'm always very careful to be sure that the foods that I put in that 4 to 6 ounces are the correct types of foods.
Absolutely. Very, very important point to make, and that's why you're succeeding.
Congratulations, Cookie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cookie.
All right. Thank you, Doctor, for calling me.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here. I'll be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. We're conquering obesity right here.
The Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL. Community headlines. Sponsored by Gulf Coast Family Newspapers.
Make plans now to join Dr. David Jeremiah for an evening of eye-opening truths and biblical prophecy and discover startling parallels between current events. And be encouraged by Christ-centered worship, special musical guests, and powerful teaching of Dr. Jeremiah. Thursday, March 19th at 7 p.m. at the USF Sun Dome. Tickets are free, but you must register in advance. Go to bayword.com for details. Enjoy a tribute to the legendary Patsy Cline performed by Leanne Williams Saturday, March 21st in Newport Richey, Florida. For tickets, call 727-816-3110.
For more information on these and other events around Tampa Bay, visit our website, 860WGUL.com. Get your event mentioned on Community Headlines. Send the details to calendar@salemtampa.com.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back. We're conquering obesity here with Dr. Will Aguila, who's an obesity specialist and surgeon. And we've talked about various aspects of obesity, how it impacts your health, and really how to think about it. I think this is very key. This is a so-called cycle of obesity that Dr. Aguila has included in his website and his philosophy of treating you to have you understand really the approach. It's a multifaceted approach, because indeed the ultimate cause of obesity are multifactorial. And let's talk at this point about how do we prevent obesity in the first place, Will?
Well, prevention of obesity is basically controlling the levels of your stress. It seems to be the number one factor affecting it. Eat healthy, non-processed foods. Extremely important. We talked about that with Monica. And maintain an active lifestyle. By active lifestyle, you understand that adults need at least 30 minutes of moderate activity 5 days per week. And children need about an hour of physical activity a day. the whole key is to maintain your body in energy balance. And the energy balance basically is calories in has to equal calories out. And this is what will help you prevent it.
Very good. And so let's get more specific. What options are available to our listeners if they are obese?
Well, the best is to decrease the amount of calories that you eat per day and perform regular exercise. Let me give you an example. If you were to take 500 calories a day less, just 500 a day, in 1 week, that's equivalent to 1 pound of weight loss. 1,000 calories less a day is 2 pounds of weight loss per week. How can you do that? Well, let's say you exercise for about 30 minutes of strenuous exercise a day. That's about 300 calories you're going to burn. And if you take one cafe latte less a day, there you go. It's about 500 to 300 to 600 calories that you are missing a day, and you will lose a pound of weight.
So it's really within each of our reach to achieve a pound or 2 pounds a week of weight loss.
More than you think. It's really that easy, but it's just also that difficult. That's the problem, mm-hmm. if you understand what I mean by that.
Does it help if our listeners grab a friend or a relative, spouse, to embark on exercise program and so on?
Support is key. You have to have support. You have to also make sure you do it for yourself, too. You don't do it because somebody else is asking you to do it. You want to have to do it. You have to say to yourself, I'm done with this. I'm not going to be obese one more day. This is it. It's over.
And if you can look yourself at the mirror and not cover all the mirrors in your home, look at yourself. In your case, it was a photograph you looked at of yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. And have you found that to be stimulating other patients too, or motivation, like it was for you?
It can help some people. It can help others. But really, coming to terms with your obesity, coming to terms with that you are done with it, that mm-hmm. you're going to change your life, that is key. And my opinion is this: that we all strive when we're losing weight for certain goals. Everybody places goals. The problem with goals is that once you get to that goal, you tend to let up. And you tend to let your guard down, and then problems start arising. You get back into your old habits. So I teach my patients, and again, my own opinion, this is what I follow, is there is only one goal, period, and that is to keep the weight off for good. And that's a goal you have to strive for every single day.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, we have only about 30 seconds. Will, any other final messages or thoughts for our listeners?
Yes, the most important thing is if you look for a weight loss program, or if you're trying to achieve that, you should know that the one thing you want to look for is a program that emphasizes lifestyle changes and behavioral eating modifications. That's the most important thing, because that's what's going to keep the weight off for good.
For anyone out there that's interested in getting more information from Dr. Aguila's office, that's 877-6000, area code 813-877-6000. And as Cookie described, you can join the family at Dr. Gila's office and have their support. This is what they focus on. And again, Will, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us, being our expert on weight loss and obesity, conquering obesity. And for all our listeners out there, next week we're going to tackle back pain, diagnosis, management, ridding yourself of back pain with Dr. Tom Tolley. Do not forget, go on FocusOnFemales.com and register for the 4th Annual Focus on Females Women's Health Symposium, only 3 weeks away, March 21st at the Convention Center. It's free. Join the other 2,000 women and men there. Yes, we do have men, about 5 to 10% are men. There are topics for everybody. We'll see you there. I'll see you next week right here, Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. This is Dr. Maskin signing off.